Come on, all over the building. All over the building. All over the building. Let's give God some praise. Can we give God some praise today? I dare about 10 of you just give God some praise. Some of you are overdue on the praise. Amen. God has done some miraculous things in your life, and this is your opportunity to say, thank you, Jesus. We bless the Lord today. Excited to be in the house of the Lord today. The seasoned saints used to say, excited to be in the house of the Lord today one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Know where he's at. Amen. We bless God for everything that has taken forth thus far. Is children's church open today? Children's church is open today. Youth group is open today. Nurseries is open today. We bless the Lord today. We're going to get right on into the word. Amen. I know that this is our services. Getting to this part of the service is a little further out than what it usually is, but every now and again, you're going to have to come out of protocol and allow God to be God. Amen. Anytime that we feel like what we have to say supersedes what he has to say, then we need to get back to how our first works. Amen. The book of Acts, part 10. Amen. Father, you be received in this place. Let your word be received in this place. Let us walk out of here different than what we walked in. And that can only be through you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the believers said, amen. As many of you know, we've been in the book of Acts since the first Sunday of 2026. And the way it's looking, we will most likely be in this book all of 2026 and possibly some of 2027, Lord willing. And the reason that we are going through this book so thoroughly is because midway through this book, there should be a shift in not just how we look at ministry, but how we do ministry. While journeying through the book of Acts together, the prayer is that we begin to better understand our kingdom responsibilities and operate accordingly. It's not just enough to know how we're supposed to be getting down. We need to be getting down in that way, amen? While journeying through this book of Acts together, that the prayer is that we begin to understand, like I said, the kingdom responsibilities. And before we get heavy into it, I need to say something, and I need you to lock in on what I'm saying, amen? As we came into the new year, we were on fire, and God was with us. And there was really no way to explain it, but you felt it. You knew something different was happening in the house. It was momentum, but not just any old momentum. It was kingdom momentum. And then we seen what the enemy done. Now, in order for you to get this, you're going to have to really tap into the timeline of your mind over the past few months. And here's how it went. And it has been strategic. I went down in the beginning of January immediately in the streets. We say immediately because immediately is too long. Amen. I went down immediately. Amen. Immediately after the fast ended, I began to have excruciating knee pain. And then I was hit with mono and then some other infection for 2 months. Me and Miriam been trying to pronounce sarcoidosis. As I continue to get worse, many of you begin to go through things yourselves. But for some of you, it was your health as well. But for some of you, it was your living quarters. And for some of you, it was your job. But for some of you, it was your kids tripping. But for some of you, it was your marriages or relationships. Death in the family. And family tripping. What I'm saying is we was all in here battling against something. Now, before I continue on, I just want to go ahead and say something. You heard Sister Lily say that I was going through this cancer diagnosis, and I didn't want to reach out to Bishop because he was going through some things. Let me be very clear. And each and every one of you, and those of you that's watching online better know this and know this well. I don't care what I'm going through. This is what I do. You get with me. You let me know what's happening. I need to know how to be praying for you. And it's not that I don't have skilled leadership to do that for me or do that with and for you, but I don't pastor from a distance, baby. I'm here to die on the sword. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I bet not find out no more craziness through the grapevine. On the phone, now she won't say she's sorry. On the phone, she was tough. Amen. When I told her about herself, she was tough. Now we in person. It's my bad, bro. In here, through these few months, if we just be real about it, we've been going through some things. And with everything in me, I truly believe it was the fast. I truly believe that the enemy has seen what's about to happen next for growth and for all of us personally. And his thought process was, let me hit them now. And they won't stay strong enough to hold on until the blessings and the breakthroughs come to pass. And he played games with us. He played games with us. Here's what I mean. Every time some of you thought about calling me, he would put in your head, now you know he's going through some things. You know he's sick. You know he's going through it himself. And you know it would really be selfish and disrespectful if you called him. And so Satan thought, I got him now. The leader is down and they are all being hit. But what Satan made the mistake of was, I'm not the leader, baby. Oh God, I'm all right with that. I'm not the leader, baby. And the leader is never down. The leader is never defeated. He took it. Oh God. So he thought he had us because we all being hit. But what the enemy had forgot was we had just come out the fast, baby. We had just come out of 3 days of intense fasting and praying. And some people say 3 days ain't all that much. You try with nothing but water. You try it. I bet you change your tune quick. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so he found out that you wasn't as weak as you used to be. Lord, how about you? He found out that you had become a little more serious about God. Can I just go ahead and tell y'all what really happened? Yeah. It got crazy, and yes, it looked bad, and yes, some of you were on the cusp of giving up, but then something happened. Lord, have mercy. You begin to remember things like, if he be you begin to remember things like, no weapon formed against me, Lord, have mercy, shall be able to prosper. You begin to remember that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God, Lord, have mercy, God delivers us out of them all. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do I got a witness that he delivers us out of them all? And you begin to remember that you begin to remember and yes, beloved, it was crazy, and yes, beloved, it was scary, and yes, it was overwhelming at times. But do I have anybody in the building that can testify that yes, it was pure hell? But when I look back on it, I can declare that I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better. The songwriter said, when I look back over all you brought me through, I can see right now it was you that I held on to, and I never would have. I think Marvin Sapp said, I never would have made it. Do I got anybody that can testify to that? I never would have made it without you.
But you got.
All right, let me get back to it. And if you really think about it, the enemy was doing everything he could to disrupt this sermon series because he knew y'all was locking in. Yeah, y'all messed around and got me in trouble. He knew that y'all was locking in. And he knew that y'all was learning. See, let me say this, and then we're going to move on. There has to be something about this ministry that every time we turn around, it's something else. And I promise you that this is our year, and the enemy knows it. And this is why it is so important to lock in and to be determined to walk this walk out for real. Okay, so week before last, let me just get on back into the series. Expect more hell. Expect more drama. Expect more issues. You won't find a time in the Gospels where Jesus was just kicking it. Not somebody or something else coming up against him. Expect. And people have been fooled to believe that you know, if you're always going through it, it might be something wrong with the ministry. But the reality is, my take on the matter is, on the strength that we're always going through it is an indication that the enemy understands what's going to happen when this thing busts wide open. So get this. He ain't just coming after growth. As a single unit, he's coming after us individually. And here's the hit. We ain't even got to be tripping about it, because as long as we are in him, I ain't gotta look no different. I ain't gotta be no different. All I gotta be is in him. Oh, God. I read somewhere to stand still and see the salvation. Okay. Pastor Jackie Jackson's in the house with his beautiful fiance, Cincinnati and Louisville. Catch this. Okay. So week before last, we journeyed into chapter 3, and we run into a situation of a lame man, and he's been lame all his life. He has no strength in his ankles or feet. And as a consequence, he has to beg. He has to beg in order to eat. He has to beg in order to keep a roof over his head. He has to beg Do you understand what I'm saying to you? His entire livelihood is literally contingent upon the generosity of others. Lord, have mercy. Week before last, we learned that there were three set times of prayer at the temple, morning, afternoon, and evening. And there was also two lambs sacrificed each day, one at the morning sacrifice and the other at the evening sacrifice. The first lamb was brought out and tied to the altar at dawn. The morning sacrifice then took place at 9 a.m., coinciding with the first hour of prayer. This is also when the gates of the temple were opened for the day. The second lamb was brought out and tied to the altar at noon, and this was coinciding with the second hour of prayer. The evening sacrifice took place at 3 p.m., coinciding with the third hour of prayer. Notice, the evening sacrifice took place in what we call the afternoon. That's because the next day for the Jews began at sundown. Listen, Peter and John were headed into the temple. As they begin to enter the gate of the temple called Beautiful, they are interrupted by a beggar that is asking them for some money. Peter looks at the man and says, "Look at me." Every now and again, when God puts you in a position to play a part in somebody's breakthrough, it's not going to always be key, key, key. Every now and again, because watch this, people have been hindered. People have been lame for so long in whatever situation that they're lame in, they really ain't looking for solution. They just looking for relief. Every now and then, you're going to have to look at the dope addict. Every now and then, you're going to have to look at the homosexual. Every now and again, you're going to have to look at the stripper. Every now and again, you're going to have to look at the gangbanger and say, "Look at me. Silver, silver and gold, I do not have." I promise I'm paraphrasing, but I'm saved. But what I do got is a name. Lord, have mercy. I might not have no money in my pocket, but beloved, money in my pocket ain't what you need. But what I do have is a name. It's better than any black card you could own. It's better than any credit card you could own. It's better than any debit card you could. I might not have the funds that you're looking for, but I got a name that even the funds have got to bow down to. And that name is... As I'm in the name of Jesus, and he grabs him by the hand and he says, "Get up and walk." And that's just what the man did. Now, I want to show you faith. We haven't read in scripture that Peter's done this before. In fact, other than Peter preaching into 3,000 coming to know Christ, before that, we all knew Peter to be lightweight a failure. But see, Peter, he might have dropped the ball here and there, but he was never confused about who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. Amen. He might not have understood the whole mission of, why Jesus was getting down the way that he was, but he knew that if he said it, that settled it. And so here's faith. He picks up a man. Nine times out of 10, this ain't Peter and John's first time seeing him. It's just the first time that God set the situation up for this man to get blessed. And so what he does is he knows that everybody knows this man is lame in his feet. He knows that everybody knows this man cannot walk. And if I pick this boy up and he fall back down, they gonna stone us. Notice, it didn't matter if Peter had ever done it before. It only mattered what Jesus had told them they had the ability to do. Some of you need to stop looking at what you've never done before. Some of you won't pray for your family members. You call me to pray for them. And I'm like, "You got a mouth, you got lips, you pray for them." But you don't want to pray for them because you ain't never really prayed for nobody. And when you did pray for them, you didn't see nothing come from it. But can I tell you something, beloved? We pray for them anyway, because it might not be for you to see it. It just might be for you to pray. Peter's not tripping off what he's never done before. Peter's been restored. Peter's got another shot at it. And Peter's like, I bet I don't play this off again. I tell you what I won't do is I won't drop the ball again. He operates in total faith. Lord, have mercy. And so he says, get up and walk. May I suggest to you, beloved, that there will be some times in your life that you are faced with some things that money can't get you out of. There will be some times when you feel lame for whatever reason, and it's at that time that you have to remember the name, and that's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now get this, Peter works a miracle on the strength of Jesus' name. And everybody's tripping. Now everybody's tripping. Nobody can believe it. And the Bible says that they are truly astonished. And that's where we're going to pick up today with help of Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. And you know, we're coming from the New Living Translation. I'm going to take a drink of water before your pastor's parched. Amen. But did you remember this time last week? Your pastor couldn't finish. Is he good? Is he good? Chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. The Bible says, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade and where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Underscore that, he's holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. What did that tell you right there? We ought to be looking out for our opportunity. You understand what I'm saying to you? We need to be looking out for the opportunity to tell somebody about somebody that can save anybody. Amen. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us, though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors who brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. He's checking him. Rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things. And God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets. You are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent first to you, people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful way. Verse number 11, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Now, I want you to see something off dribble. Luke was the writer of this book. Luke, the writer of this book, rather, says that they was all in amazement and they was all astonished. But guess what they wasn't? Happy for the beggar. They was amazed. They was blown away. They was astonished. But they wasn't happy. I mean, you would think that after all of these years that they have walked past him, good weather, bad weather, they saw him at least a couple of times a day. Some, if not many, looked out for him, even. Which indicates that they saw a need and they did what they could do to address it, and not even they was happy. Instead, they was puzzled. It kind of makes you think that they could care less. About he's better. Some of us right now in this very building have experienced this mess while you were in your lame place. People sympathized with you. People tried to lift your spirits, even though they didn't really believe you was going to come through it. People helped you when they could. But then God steps in on a season and the scene of your life and begins to turn everything around, and prayers get answered, and people and the very people you just knew would be happy for you wasn't. I thought you'd be happy that I don't get high no more. I thought you'd be happy that I don't just sleep around no more. I thought you'd be happy that I don't need a drink no more. But they wasn't. I mean, after all the pep talks, I remember them pep talks we used to get. After all the "you need to get yourself togethers," after all the attitude gave when they had to help you, I don't know, call me crazy, but I thought you'd be happy that I ain't lame no more. And just like that, the man that was lame in Acts chapter 3, just like him, just like you did, you got to see who was really for you. Some people helped you so they could talk about it. Some people helped you for their glory, not his. So all of the people are in amazement about this man being healed, but no one is grateful. No one is happy for him. And real quick, because I don't want you to miss this teaching moment, see what you might have missed a week before last was the first lesson that the man who was lame taught. Real quick, I want to go back to Acts chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. I want to show you. I don't want you to miss this. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, underscore that, stood on his feet, underscore that. He began to walk, don't miss that part, then walking, leaping, and praising, get all that, praising God, he went into the temple with them. And the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Did you see what the lame man was teaching? What he was teaching us in verse 7, God came through for him and changed his life. God had did for him what he wasn't able to do for himself, what no medical expert was able to pull off themselves. And the man who was once lame in his feet, in verse number 8 says he jumped up on his feet and he began to walk. And then he went from walking to leaping and from leaping to praising God. Well, what is the once lame man teaching us? What is he that he's teaching us? He's teaching us how to be grateful. Oh, y'all missed that. Is it anybody in the building that's ever had an issue? An issue that was bigger than you. An issue that you did not see yourself coming out of, no matter how many times you had tried before. But all of a sudden, God brings you out of that issue
Was you reserved with it? Was you, thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank the Lord. The man that was lame in his feet and his ankles jumped up and said, let me tell you something. I'm about to walk it out. I'm about to walk it out. I'm about to leap it out. I'm about to praise it out. When I was able this morning to get out of my bed, after walking up the steps to get to my bed, roll out of the bed and say, I'm ready for my shower. Miriam said, calm down. I said, ain't no way. Miriam said, take it slow. I said, I can't. Miriam said, be careful. I said, ain't comforting in me. You understand what I'm saying here? Because he lay, oh God, what was lame in my body. Dead things came alive. Dead things came alive. Dead things came alive. In the name of... He was teaching us how to be grateful. He was teaching us how to praise God. He's saying, I'm a man who understands how bad I had it in life. And then on the strength of just the Savior's name, I didn't even see the Savior, but I still got healed. The man doesn't need pushing. He doesn't need a keyboard. He doesn't need pumping or priming. He just got healed, and the brother knows how to act. See, some of you need to learn how to thank him. Some of you need to learn how to give him some praise. Some of you need to act like you knew how bad it really was for you. And on the strength of how crazy it was, you should lose your mind. You ought to be able to bless God on a memory. When I look back over the last couple of months, he didn't have to do nothing today. But on the strength of last week, on a Tuesday at 3:45, I can give him a praise. Verse number nine. It says, all the people saw him walking and, watch this, heard him praising God. Let me tell you something, baby. They heard him. So for the ones that couldn't see him, because, you know, it was a nice crowd. For the ones that couldn't see him, they could hear him giving God the glory. In other words, he said, I ain't walking, jumping, leaping, baby, for show. Not only are you going to see how in this I am, but you're going to hear my. And the reason why they don't hear me, because when I was at my worst, he heard my humble cry. Then we go from verse 9 to 11. Oh God, I'm a hippo. Yeah, I'm a silver robosha. Then we go from verse 9 to 11. Do you see what he's doing in verse 11? Right after the miracle, watch this in verse number 11, the New Living Translation, it says, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. There's some nuggets right there. They were holding tightly to Peter and John. The New King James Version, it's in your notes, it says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. The Amplified Classic says, now watch this. Now while he still, somebody say still, firmly clung to Peter and John. Did you see it, beloved? He's been healed, and he's holding tightly to the name or who came with his name to heal him. He held on to, he firmly clung to, Kevin, come here. He firmly clung to the ones who knew the name. Oh, God, have mercy. I don't know if you've ever been through hell in your life and you just not could make no sense of it. But then somebody came through and said, listen, I know a name. And they laid hands on you and they prayed with you and it didn't happen in that moment, but later on that night, something had shifted and everything
begin to work out. And all of a sudden, you said, you know what? I know I got a lot of dogs out there. I know I got a lot of people that got my back out there, but none of them came with a name. But since none of them came with the name, but one did, I'm going to stick with the one that knows the name. I don't even know. Can I just go ahead and be real in here? I don't even know the one they talking about, but I didn't have to. They did. And since they knew about him, it was enough for them to contact me. And then everything about my situation just happened to turn around. So I'm going to cling tightly, too. See, the problem is, some of you might be wondering what's being taught in that. And the answer is the man who had been healed of this dismal situation had enough sense to stay around the people who had something to do with the healing. Lord, have mercy. Had enough sense to stick it out. The Bible don't say they know each other. The Bible don't say they cousins. The Bible don't even say that Peter gave to him monetarily before. But the Bible said that Peter said, "Look at me. Rise up and walk." And that's just what the beggar did. And the beggar, call him what you may, think about him how you want to, but he was smart enough. How many times has God sent somebody to you that helped bring you out the fray, help bring you out the madness? And then your silly butt, as soon as you get 2-3 feet out the madness, you go back to what put you in the madness in the first place. Not this brother. He says, "I'm clinging to you." You might as well go ahead and get used to me because I ain't going nowhere. Friendships have to change when I meet people who know the name. I was going through hell. You passed me a blunt. They passed me a name. Come on. I was going through hell. You passed me a bottle. They passed me a name. I was going through hell. You offered your body, but they offered me a name. And that's what I'm going to cling to. Amen. What's up? What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, when you see God come through for you, when you acknowledge the fact that it had it not been for the Lord who was on your side, you'd still be stuck in it. What he was teaching in those verses, he was teaching, "I ain't letting you go. You know the issue? Because if I was a betting man, I would bet all my wages that he's seen what you've been through. I would bet that not only has he seen some of the hell that you've been through, he's brought you out of it. I'm good, mommy. I'm good, mommy. You enjoy yourself. I got this. I got a name." I know you're my ride or die, my soldier, my homie, love affair, but good. Watch this. Everybody in here would have to admit he's brought us out of something or another. And where the enemy attacks us with the shame of it is that after he brought us out, if we just being 100, we went back to it. Or we begin to honor something or someone other than God. Even let them talk us out of God. Even after he had healed you. Even after he blessed you. Even after he kept you. Some of us threw fits in front of Jesus. "You ain't giving me my way. It ain't going down the way it's supposed to be. I thought when I tapped into Jesus, I tapped into everything I wanted to. And you know what? I'm through with this." Ain't you glad God don't be studying you? Come on. I know I'm glad.
I'm glad that he didn't take me at my word a lot of times. Amen. I'm glad that he went, he'd be all right. The angels are saying, you see him down there tripping, and God's like, man, I'm not saying Stephen.
But some of us, here's what the enemy did when we turned our back on him after all he had done. Satan jumped in and said, because he's Satan, know you love him. Satan, know you don't want him. But he's played enough game with you. How did Pookie say it? He called me and called me and called. And it's a funny statement until it keeps calling you. And you don't want no more of it, but you can't let it go. Satan begins to say, why are you praying? You kneeling down to pray. Can I go ahead and bless you, beloved? Sometimes you ain't got time to kneel. Just pray. It don't make it no holier because you on your... We in warfare. Sometimes we got... We got to shoot and back up. We got to shoot and back up. We ain't got time to get holy, baby. I'm trying to make it through this piece. And Satan says, as you're trying to bend your knee, ain't no use in you praying. You still want it. You don't want it, but you feel like you gotta have it. Ain't no use in praying. Look how many times God done brought you out. Don't you think God get tired of you? Can I go ahead and tell you something, beloved, for those of you who have struggled for the thousandth time and more? Every time you find yourself having to repent, devil be still. Every time that you find yourself needing to repent, what you are really saying is, I know I'm a mess. I know I'm a trip. I know I drop the ball all the time, but I have not lost that bit of faith. How dare you pat yourself on the back? How dare you pat? If you've been through hell and you know it's been your fault, but you still got enough sense in your brain to try, you better give yourself a hand clap.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, Lord. Be watchful of the ones that ain't happy for you. But for sure, know this. We ain't tripping. We don't need them to be happy for us. But what will do me good is to know that you're not, so I can know how to operate with you going forward. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, because after you knew everything that I've been through, after you knew every foul thing that I've ever done, after you knew the level of my lameness, and you're supposed to have loved me, but you don't seem happy for me, then see, what that lets me know is that you can be used to mess me up. And I'll never see it coming because I trust you. It's time to be grateful. What he brought you out of might not be a big deal to her, but it's a big deal to you because you was the one in it. Let me tell you something, baby. I don't need nobody to dance with me. I can hop a two-step on my own on the strength of how good he's been to me. I don't need you. You're going to need to know that there's going to be many times you're going to dance alone.
Come on, Bishop.
But it's over. I'd rather dance alone than dance with the enemy, you know? Listen, we bless God for everything that has went forward. I want to make sure I'm saying this name right. I practice it every day and know I mess it up anyway. I have a word from the Say your last name. Joel, say your last name. Carabello. I'll be saying it right. Carabello. The reason of my existence is in the house. The reason of my existence is in the house. Job and Ruth Carabello. That's blessing. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. I stand here on your shoulders for what you've done before I even knew what I was supposed to do. You was making a way for me. Thank you, sir. If there is anybody in the building that has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior, I want to offer you the greatest invitation that you could ever receive. Holy Spirit said to me about 5 minutes ago, I sent some people here who need me. Hey, you are not here by circumstance. You are not here by chance. Hell has been playing a game. And you're tired. You're tired. And you're wise enough to know that everything ain't gonna be okay overnight. But the better fact to know is that God ain't expecting you to change overnight. And God says, I have healing in the room. I've got healing in the room. I'm the great situation worker. I work out situations like, and in fact, he got me a nickname, thus saith the Lord. They call me Waymaker. On the strength that I was able to do what nobody else could do, they started calling me Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Light in the Darkness. That's who I am. He says, I have a reputation. I'm like at a billion and zero. I ain't never lost a fight. Seasoned saints used to say, I'm the doctor that's never lost a patient, and I'm a lawyer that's never lost a case. Somebody talk to me in here. And he says, all I need of you, whoever this is for, all I need of you is to trust me. And 9 times out of 10, whoever this message is for, they're being combated. There's so much going on right now. But God says, I need you to battle through all that and just trust me. Can we keep a kingdom? I ain't asking you to join a church. He says, I'm asking you to join me. Come on. Yeah. This ain't about membership. This is about you being okay. Some of you made it in by the skin of your teeth. Y'all remember that time when hell was on your heels and you just made it in? God said, that's cool. I take it. God said, I'll take you barely. God said, I'll take you barely. I'll work it out in the barely. I mean, I ain't saying I'm all spiritual and all that. God said, I'll take it. I'll do something with it. I ain't all that spiritual and all that. I'll do something with it. Yeah. If there's anybody in the building that desires to give their life over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not to Grove Temple, not to Bishop Lyons, not to any of the team, but to Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My uncle, old Baptist preacher, used to say, oh, you fine. Where you want to be, wherever you want to be, baby, you home. My uncle, old Baptist preacher, used to say something every Sunday when he was doing altar call. He'd say, there's room at the cross for you.
Lord, have mercy.
If there's somebody in the building that's saying, I need to get to know him. And somebody might even be saying, I know God, I know Jesus, but you know, and I accepted Jesus into my life, you know, a time ago, but if I'm just being real, I ain't been all the way 100 with Jesus. I ain't kept his word. I ain't checked in like I'm supposed to. I ain't done none of that. I believe in him, but I ain't been right. And can I just go ahead and let you know, beloved God, God said, I ain't tripping. Come on down here and see me. Come on down here and rededicate your life to me. Come on down here and rededicate your life to me. He says, I make crooked paths. I make crooked paths straight. How do I say? Yeah. 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 You know, the skin of my teeth. I barely made it. I don't know how many of you know it, but I barely made it in. Facing 20 years to life in Louisville, facing 10 flat day calendars here in Lexington. These in 16 different states. I was playing the game for real. Muslim, so Muslim that I was Muslim before I ever went to prison. And then when I would get to prison and they would find out that I was on the yard, they would automatically vote me in as the imam of the yard. The Islamic preacher of the yard. That's how Muslim I was. Taught my children to speak Arabic, pray in Arabic. And then one day, after being on the run 3.5 years, and these people were truly trying to take my life, and I was wrong on every accord, and I decided one day, Pastor Sonia, I said, I can't take it. I'm going to kill myself. I can't fathom how I had busted up my family. My kids was here and there, and their mother had passed away, and I had my kids scattered all over the city of Lexington. And I said, I can't even wake up every day thinking about how I failed everybody that was supposed to be important to me. So I decided I was going to kill myself. If you've ever been in prison, you know they call for razors. I'm in the Louisville jail. They call it the Octagon. And this is how I know that Satan was out for me, because in the Octagon, they will never call razors and gym at the same time. This was at a time where we got classified of what floor we would be on by our gang affiliation. It would be a bloodbath to call razors and gym at the same time. Because just cause if we bloods don't mean we all blooding together. Just cause we crips, we ain't all cripping together. We got wars going on in amongst us, amongst our own. They called razors and I signed up. They gave me 2. 5 minutes later, they called Jim. The whole room cleared out. Today, I understand that the enemy was setting the stage for me to take my life in that moment. So I had broken the razors. I was walking to the restroom, about to get in the shower, and I knew that I had to do this now because I would never have the courage to do it again. But I was tired. You ever been tired? You ever been so tired that when you laid down the night before, you said, "Look here, if it's gonna be like this tomorrow, I'm cool. You can call my number." So tired that all I'd done was sat around and cried for no reason, just cried. And I'm going to the shower, and all of a sudden I hear the door open, and I got these razors in my hand, and that's an instant write up. That's instantly in the hole, and I just kind of froze, and I realized that somebody had come back into the building, into the dorm, and I heard the cuffs come off, And a brother by the name of, he's passed away, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him, Perry Brown, he came back in and he'd never been in trouble before in his life. But he was in jail. He died in prison for killing a man that was molesting his 7-year-old baby. I understood and understand that. I just ain't that saved yet, I guess. But he didn't have a traffic ticket outside. never been in trouble. He was the only Christian that I had faith in because I hated Jesus. I hated Christianity. Oh, boy. You understand what I'm saying to you? I look around and here Brother Brown is. He said, Brother Lyons, I need to talk to you. I said, go to Jim. Come back and holler at me then. I got to jump in the shower, shave my head. He said, Brother Lyons, I got to. I said, go. And he was a soft man. So I tried to punk him out. I said, man, get up out of here. I said, talk to me when you get back. And he bust out crying and said, Jesus don't want you to kill yourself. I said, what did you say to me? What did you say? He said, Jesus don't want you to kill yourself. He says, and if you will trust him, they're not going to do to you what they think they are. I cried so much, I lost weight. You hear me? And he sat me down. His bunk's here, my bunk's here. And he told me things about me that he could not know. I've never known this man. The next couple of days, they had a church service. I went to the church service. I go from Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to this church service. These two little old black ladies walked in this building looking like my grandmama. And they preached this room upside and down. And the next thing I know, I'm at the top of the room crying. That little old lady came over and she said, baby, you ready? I said, mama. Didn't even know her name. I said, mama, I'm ready. Baby, you ready? And they began to lay hands on me. And they began to speak destiny into me. And they began to speak power. And they reminded me that everything I had ever done in this moment was being forgiven. A year in, I'm studying at the table. Don't even know how I can teach this stuff because I've never read this stuff, but I'm leading the Bible studies. I don't know how that happened. Sitting at the table by myself reading, Holy Spirit hits my life and says, three. No longer than three. I'm thinking, I'm going to take that to be years. I know I got some cases to fight all over the state. Then I got out. 2 days after, I got out 3 years and 2 days after they finally called me, after they first called me. The only reason I share that, I only tell you my testimony every so now and again, is because there's some people in here that need to understand God don't care what you've been through. He don't. He has need of you. He loves you. He needs you in the number. Amen. So if we've got anybody else, we offer you the invitation to come on down. Some of you might just say, listen, I'm saved and I'm straight, but I do need prayer. I need to touch and agree. Come on down. But don't you come down if you don't want it to change. We pray around here. We pray around here. We pray with expectation. Round here. So if there's anybody that just says, listen, I'm saved and I'm straight, but I could use some prayer. You're invited to come on down. Prayer team, come on down. I'm not going to try to journey this alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. On fire for God. And the enemy has taken his best shot. Yeah.